A few announcements before we get going here. If you have your bulletin there, let's turn to it. And just a couple of quick ones. Is one at the bottom of the middle page, we're missing a ladder. So if anyone has taken our ladder, we understand you probably just borrowed it and have forgotten you have it. But if you have that, it has a description here, so you can bring that back, please. And then secondly, tomorrow night we have our grad celebration. And so it's an opportunity for us to join in with those grads as we celebrate their accomplishment. So there's boxes still out in the back here. If you haven't written a note or put something into those boxes, they will be available still today or tomorrow morning as we open in office hours. So we just want to congratulate those grads, and we're excited for where the Lord would lead them in the future. So the rest, you can see more notices and announcements in the bulletin. But let's pray as we begin to open up God's word this morning. Father, we thank you that you are our Redeemer, and we can't come to you except for Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection. And so, Lord, we are humbled by your love for us, that you would love us so deeply that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us. The wages of sin is death, but you have given us eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And so, Lord, we do submit now to you, and we acknowledge that your word has been given to us. We thank you that we can open up the Old Testament and the New Testament, and we can read of your redemption, even as Keith opened up Exodus this morning, and we read about redemption. Father, we submit ourselves this morning and ask that you would continue to speak to us through your word. Father, as we, Lord, love you and choose to worship you, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you have your Bibles there, I want you to open to Psalm 121. And as we go through this psalm this morning, I want to encourage you too, just like we did last week, that at the end there will be a time for response if someone wants to choose a song from the hymn book or the sermon book, to close it off in response to how God might be speaking to you through this psalm this morning. So just keep that in mind. Psalm 121, and God's word reads, "A song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore." Well, as we continue through our summer study in the book of Psalms, today we get to what some call this psalm the traveler's psalm. And for that reason, oftentimes this psalm has been used as people are departing on a trip somewhere in effort to encourage them and bless them. And as I was thinking through that aspect of the psalm, I think that it would have been very encouraging for Jen and I. A number of years ago, we went to India on a missions trip, and we went to a place called Darjeeling, which you may know of because of its famous tea. But we had to take a taxi up to Darjeeling, which is at the bottom of the Himalayas. And on the way, on this taxi, there's twists and turns up the mountains, up and up and up. And it was quite scary because we didn't know if cars coming the other way would push us off the edge or if the driver would lose control and we'd plummet off the edge. But thankfully, we're here this morning, and obviously we made it through that missions trip. But this psalm has been known as the Traveler's Psalm, and it would have been helpful for us to know that, as we could have considered it and reflected on it and had a more enjoyable and probably relaxing trip up to Darjeeling. But apart from being called a Traveler's Psalm, some people call it a Soldier's Psalm. And then actually this psalm has been the theme for songs at royal events. And then this, I thought, was also very interesting, is that the first part of verse 1 is probably the Scottish translation for the motto of the University of Calgary. And so that motto in Scottish, I can't read, but in English it says, I lift up my eyes. So that's cool that the University of Calgary would have such a motto that proclaims who God is. But yeah, just as it is encouraged and comforted and reassured many people in all types of different situations, I trust that today we may be blessed and encouraged by this psalm too. And so may the truths of the psalm increase our confidence in the Lord. And with that, I've outlined the psalm, as you can see in your outline there, with four encouraging truths to increase your confidence in the Lord. And the first of those encouraging truths is in verses 1 and 2, the Lord is your helper. The Lord is your helper. And it's likely that this psalm itself was written in the context of pilgrims who were traveling to Jerusalem. And so after this psalm was first composed, being, as it says, a song of ascents, of which there's 14 others, this may also have been a psalm that was written, that was spoken and sung as pilgrims made their way to Jerusalem every year. In Deuteronomy 16:16, God instructed all the men of Israel to journey to his chosen place three times a year for specific special feasts and celebrations. And so when Jerusalem became that holy place and became the place with the temple, then every year, three times a year, there would have been pilgrims flocking from all over Israel, especially as David was king and Solomon, to journey together for these feasts. So they came to celebrate, they came to give an offering to the Lord for what he had done in that time as they were at home. However, the journey to reach these feasts and the celebration in Jerusalem was often long and dangerous. So depending on where the pilgrims came from, the trip may have included slippery paths, rocks that they could have slipped on underfoot. It may have included deep valleys, hills to climb, robbers, and even wild animals. And so it's reasonable to understand that a person who was setting out on such a journey may be slightly anxious about what was ahead. Okay, they may have been uncertain, especially if their families came, their children and the elderly came on this trip to Jerusalem. And furthermore, the robbers who were waiting for them knew the schedule as to when they would travel, and they knew that with those travelers were lots of prized possessions that they wanted to offer to the Lord. And yet, despite all these potential threats, many of the Israelites were committed to God's word and his instruction that had told them they needed to do this. And so they packed their bags and they departed for Jerusalem. Okay, and as a quick point of application, I think it's also important for Christians to consider God's instruction for us to come and worship him also. And right now, even as we face the dangers of COVID and the hoops we have to jump through to get here, that we can consider following God's instructions to worship together. But beyond that, even not just the application of a pilgrimage to Jerusalem or coming to church during COVID, this really is applicable to all of our Christian life, because we all go through challenges in our spiritual journey. Because we all face troubles and trials. But when we live by faith, when we submit to God's word and follow him, we can have the same confidence in God that this psalm teaches us. And so as we look at verse 1 of this psalm, we see a faithful and yet possibly anxious pilgrim looking at the hills and asking where his help for the journey is going to come from. And maybe in a similar way, you're on a leg of your spiritual journey, and you might too be asking questions about where your help is going to come from. Okay, because there will be times in our journey in which we are asking God for his help. I remember a few years ago, about 5-6 years ago, that Jen and I were disappointed and discouraged and were asking God, where is our help going to come from after we'd taken a step of faith? And I quit my job to take up a ministry job that I didn't end up getting. And so we were asking the Lord, where is our help? And now as we look back, thankfully we didn't get that job. And God worked in that circumstance and situation to bring us here today. But in the middle of that disappointment, we didn't know what God was doing. But as we see in verse 2, the answer is, the Lord is our help. And so although, like Jen and I at that time, didn't know the answers, we may sometimes not know what God is doing or why He's doing it. And we may not feel like He's helping, and we will face and experience challenges. But it's the Lord we are to look to, the one who made the mountains, the one who created the heaven and the earth. Now, hopefully, as you know from the past few weeks, that word Lord, L-O-R-D in capital letters, refers to God's name as He revealed Himself to Israel, to Moses, which was just after what Keith read this morning in Exodus chapter 3. Okay, and it highlights that God is a personal and faithful God. That is our Yahweh. So in this psalm, if you have your Bible there, and if you're comfortable writing in your Bible, I'd actually encourage you to note down 5 times in this psalm the word Lord is written. Okay, 5 times out of these 8 verses. The Lord is our Creator, and He's able to provide infinite help because He's the one who has made everything. And having created everything, He's in charge of and has power over everything. And such an encouraging truth was a constant companion for a man named William Edwards. He was a British official and tax collector in India. And in 1857, apparently the Indians rebelled against the British system and in what is called the Indian Mutiny. And Edwards had to flee for his life. Now, after months of hiding, he was eventually able to escape. But during the time that he was hiding, he started a journal, and in that journal he reflected on his faith, really as evidence of the great faith that he had in our Lord through that trial. And so this is what one of his journal entries said. "Nothing new has settled about our plans, and we are much harassed. Heavy guns were firing at Turukabad today. We know not for what cause, but they reminded us painfully of our fearful proximity to that place where so many are thirsting for our lives. Amidst it all, the Psalms are most consoling and wonderfully suited to our cause, especially the 121st. And then he went on to quote the first verse. So this man under fire, well, under threat of death, who had witnessed others being killed, came to the Psalms and to Psalm 121 for confidence and courage and to increase his confidence in the Lord. Now, as we transition from these first 2 verses, it's interesting that in verses 1 and 2, we see this question coming from the speaker, and then he answers his own question. The help is to come from the Lord. But then verses 3 to 8 actually seem to come from a different perspective. And so it seems like potentially there is an encouraging response to that individual in the beginning who had questions. Or maybe even this individual with his growing confidence starts to encourage another person in the faith that they can have in God. And so in the next 2 verses we see the Lord is your guardian as the second encouraging truth to increase your confidence in the Lord. Because each step of the journey to Jerusalem was possibly a step into danger. Okay, there was no jet plane flying the people into the city. There was no train system, no public transport. There was no paved highways. And instead, as I mentioned earlier, the pilgrimage to Jerusalem included many dangers. And so verse 3, which says, "He will not let your foot be moved," would have been comforting and reassuring for them. And then as we see in the next part of verse 3, there's the declaration that it is God who keeps them and does not slumber. Verse 4 emphasizes the point even more. "Behold, he who keeps Israel will not slumber nor sleep." And this means that there is not one step we can make that God is not overseeing, that He's not aware of. God doesn't turn His eye and He doesn't close His eyes. So in essence, the speaker is encouraging the faithful and yet anxious pilgrim that their helper is also their guardian and He watches over them 24/7. And really, this is the theme and the main point of this whole psalm. Okay, for the word keep in this psalm is used 6 times. So 5 times we see that word Lord or Yahweh, and now we see 6 times this word keep. Okay, in your Bible, it may not be as obvious. Unfortunately, most translations don't use the same word consistently throughout the psalm. The ESV, which I'm preaching from, has, which is helpful. But you may see the word watches or preserves. In Hebrew, it is all one and the same word. And so we read in verse 3 the word, in verse 4, in verse 5, in verse 7. It's used twice, and then in verse 8. And so again, if you are happy to write in your Bible, I would encourage you to, again, highlight those times that Scripture uses that word keep. And I like also the emphasis in these verses that has been placed upon God who does not slumber, does not snooze, and does not sleep. Because it highlights a distinction between our God, who our God is, and all the other gods that the pagans worshipped. Okay, apparently, in that time, it was believed that the other gods would sleep, that they would slumber. And so, in 1 Kings 18, Elijah mocked the prophets of Baal at when there was this showdown of Mount Carmel. And this is what it says in 1 Kings 18. And they took the bull that was given them, and they prepared it and called upon the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, answer us. But there was no voice, and no one answered. And they limped around the altar that they had made. And at noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is musing, or he is relieving himself, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and must be awakened. But this is not our Lord. Our Lord is the maker of the heaven and the earth. Our Lord does not slumber and He does not sleep. Our Lord is with us every step of the way. And as we faithfully journey through our walk with the Lord, He will not let our foot slip. He will not allow us to blindly stumble along in our own ways. He will place our foot one step at a time on the path that He wants us to tread. Because God isn't our life raft or a lifeguard who just comes to help us and rescue us when we're in trouble. But He's engaged with us personally each step of the way and protects us from getting into trouble. And if you think about it, God has actually set the path ahead of us. It's like He's created a huge maze that we are to find our way through. And yet, as we look to Him, He'll show us each step to take to come out of that maze. Or it's like those suspenseful moments in a movie in which the good guy, the main character maybe, has to walk very carefully in precisely the right step so the booby traps don't go off. Except that God knows all those dangers. He knows what might set those booby traps off, if you will. And He will guide us exactly where He wants us to go. Now, that doesn't mean the path will always be easy. Okay, He will lead you and guide you through it all because the Lord is your guardian. But still, there will be challenges. Not only is the Lord then your helper and your guardian, but as we see in the next verses, He is also your protector. So the third encouraging truth to increase your confidence in the Lord is your protector. And again, in verses 5 and 6, these verses are related to traveling to Jerusalem. Okay, but this time the speaker emphasizes the Lord is not just Israel's keeper, as he referred to in verse 4, but he is personally the keeper of each faithful pilgrim. So it says in verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. And since maybe you've already written all over your Bible, then I'd encourage you to do it again with the word you or your. In verse 3 it says, he will not let your foot be moved, and he who keeps you will not slumber. In verse 5, apart from what I just read earlier in the first part of the verse, it says, the Lord is your shade on your right hand. In verse 6, the sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night. In verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all evil, and he will keep your life. In verse 8, the Lord will keep your coming out and your going out and your coming in. And so in these 8 verses, we have 10 references to you. The Lord is not just my keeper. He's not just someone else's keeper who may be famous and rich or more spiritual, but he is your keeper. He is your personal bodyguard. He is your personal guide and your personal companion. And after highlighting this personal truth, the speaker continues by teaching us the Lord protects us. The Lord protects you. And so it says, the Lord is your shade on your right hand, which is really a reference, a phrase that means that God is present with us at all times, in every situation and circumstance. And like the sun protects us from, the shade protects us from the sun, so too God will protect his people from danger. And then such a statement of God's protection in verse 6 says, the sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night. And that was very easy for the Israelites to understand because the Israelites were traveling on their journey to Jerusalem, and it wasn't just the challenges of robbers and wild animals and rough terrain, but potentially depending on the year and the time of year and the weather, they were going to face scorching sun upon them. But the Lord protects his people day and night when the sun scorches the ground or scorches their head. And he protects them when the moon looks over the very cold weather they would have also experienced at night and the dangerous nights. And as we think of our own journey of faith, I think this psalm is both a source of encouragement and a challenge. Will we be faithful pilgrims through this life, despite the challenges that we will face? Will we look to the Lord as our helper, as our guardian, as our protector? Or will we disobey God's word in order to avoid those possible dangerous challenges and those threats? Okay, and truthfully, in the short term, it may appear that it's easier to follow the ways of the world. It may seem safer to conform to the pressures that are around us. And it can be enticing to chase after our own lusts. But as we take confidence from God's word in this psalm, may we have courage and trust in our Lord. And as we look to his word as the source of guidance, Psalm 119, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So may we also trust his ways, obey his directions, and submit to him. He is your helper, he is your guardian, he is your protector. And in verses 7 to 8, we see the Lord is also your preserver. And so the fourth encouraging truth to increase your confidence in the Lord in verses 7 to 8 is the Lord is your preserver. And beyond just the declaration of God keeping the pilgrims on their journey to Jerusalem, these final verses highlight God will preserve his people all their lives. In verse 7, the Lord is stated to keep his people from all evil and to keep their whole life. Okay, I think it's important to clarify this verse. It doesn't mean that no harm or no evil will come to you. Okay, because clearly we read through Scripture and in our own experiences that we do face challenges. That evil does happen. And so I would explain the verse as a reference to God's sovereignty, that He is in control over every situation, whether it be good or whether it be bad. And that we can have confidence in our God as our preserver, who will not allow any evil or harm to happen to us that He has not allowed. And so we see also in Scripture that what we may think of as evil, because God is sovereign, He works these events for His purposes, for our good, and for His glory. And so in Genesis 50, verse 20, we see the same word for evil used when Joseph says to his brothers, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people alive." And in Romans 8:28, Paul says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." And this means that even evil situations are used by God for the good of believers. Okay, in fact, as tragic and evil as circumstances may be, everything we face is used by God for our good. And therefore, God will protect us from any harm that could occur to us that He does not permit. Meaning there is no evil in this world that can harm us outside of God's knowledge or control. And this can be hard to accept. Okay, when we face tragedy, when there's financial hardship, abuse, poor health, relationship struggles, it can be hard to face and understand. But we can be reassured that the Lord is our helper, that the Lord is our guardian, that the Lord is our protector, and He is our preserver. And as the psalm closes, this encouragement is not just a one-time deal or a limited-time offer. In verse 8 it says, "From this time forth and forevermore." And therefore, in whatever we do, whether we are coming or going, God will keep us. God will preserve us now and forever. So we will face challenges in this spiritual pilgrimage. But God has provided assurance that He will never leave us nor forsake us. And in Romans 8, 38 to 39, it says, "I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And then in John 10, 27 to 29, it provides the comforting assurance that all true believers in Christ will not lose their salvation. For it says, this is Jesus speaking, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." And so, faithful pilgrim, may you be encouraged by the truth of God's word. And may your confidence in our Lord increase as you look to Him who made the heaven and the earth, who is your helper, your guardian, your protector, and your preserver. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You indeed are our helper, our guardian, our protector, and our preserver. And again, Father, we do not deserve Your help. We do not deserve preservation. And yet You tell us in Your word that we will be preserved now and forevermore. Lord, You tell us that You are a help to us in time of need, in time of trouble. You tell us that we can come boldly and confidently before the throne of grace and find mercy and grace to help in time of need. And so, Lord, we do humbly come to you and pray that, Lord, you would encourage us, that you would increase our confidence in you through the challenges and the trials that we will face on our spiritual journey. And that just like these pilgrims who set out knowing the dangers that they may face, Lord, that we too would be faithful to you, faithful pilgrims on the journey ahead of us. And knowing that you are sovereign, that you are all-powerful, and Father, that you lead us each step of the way, that you guide us, that you protect us each step of the way, and that our foot will not slip, but Father, that you will work all situations and circumstances for your good to those who love you. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said, if anyone has a song that they want to call us to respond to after we've gone through Psalm 100,